We're about to begin a new malacha, and that is the malacha of nisha, wash, malacha of kneading. So the simple malacha of kneading, as it plays out in terms of sujud, the pas, in terms of the preparation of bread, is fairly obvious. You take flour, you take water, mix it together. That sounds pretty much what the malacha of nisha is all about. So the Gemara quotes a machlokes ha-tanoim, a fundamental machlokes ha-tanoim. What is the precise stage that nisha is going to be violated? The Gemara quotes two different possibilities. One possibility is what's called the Shas Nesida Samayim. At the time when the solid, the particles of flour come into contact with the water, so that is the moment of truth. That's the moment of Lisha Min HaTorah. That's the view of Rabbi Dan Nasi. I think the Gemara quotes another opinion, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, who disagrees and says, no, Einu Chayev Ad Sheyigabel, that the Chiv of Lisha Min HaTorah is not violated until the person does actually mixing together. So if you just merely cause flour and water to come into contact, or for that matter, other kinds of solid pieces, small solid pieces, and a liquid to come into contact, that in and of itself is not the moment of Lisha. The Chiy of Lisha only kicks in at a later point, at the time of Gibul, when you actually mix the two together. So you may be wondering, who cares? At the end of the day, you're going to do both, right? Well, not so simple. Not so obvious. We're going to have to apply this machlokes ha-tanoim as it become critical in terms of all the modern day shayot of Lisha. Everything we're going to talk about, from the mixing of the baby cereals to the mixing of things in yogurts, everything, you name it, across the board, all shayot of Lisha ultimately going to boil down to this fundamental machlokes between Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda. At what point in time is Lisha going to be violated? When one reads the Beis Yosef and the Siman about Lisha, so one gets very confused, because the Beis Yosef, when he quotes Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda, so he's trying to draw on the printer, trying to save some ink, so they keep on abbreviating it. They write Ribi, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda. So every line you see, Rebbe and Ribi, Rebbe and Ribi, Rebbe and Ribi, you can never remember who's saying what. So Rabbi Yudah Nassim is the one who said that Shasta Nesir Zamayim is the key moment, and Ribi, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda, was the one who said that Achi Yigabel. Within the view of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who puts such an emphasis on Gibul, that you have to actually mix it together before you're in Torah violation of Lisha, the Gemara raises the further question, what if you have something that's not subject to Gibul? What if you have something that just doesn't mix very well? So when you touch the flour and the water together, it comes into contact, and then you're trying to mix it, and nothing really happens. So now what? So the Gemara seems to say two different things in two different places. So one place in Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara seems to say, so if you can't reach the point of Gibul, so then you're not going to be chayav. According to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda, the etzem of malacha, the very definition of malacha's lisha is the actual mixing, not just really coming into contact. If it's not physically possible, it's not practical to do a Gibul, so then so be it. So then the chiyav of lisha will never be violated. And then the Gemara quotes a whole different picture, an exact opposite approach. The Gemara says, no, that according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda, who normally insists upon Gibul taking place, b'medvar mamurim, when is that true? That's something which is magil Gibul. That's something that can have that stage of Gibul. But something that can't have Gibul, so then molder Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda, the Nesidah Samayim is sufficient. So then Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda turns around and concedes to Rabbi that Nesidah Samayim would be enough in order to be chayav. So you have two totally different versions, about 180 degree difference from one another. What would Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda say about the non-Gibul items? Would he say that in Ochanami there's really no chiyuv whatsoever? Or would he turn around and be even more machmir and say that if it's not possible to do Gibul, so then one would be chayiv even right away, even without Gibul? What is the nature of the Shaila? Why is it the Gemara seems to be unclear? What's the lumdus behind the Shaila? So there seems to be a major question that's playing out here in terms of understanding Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda. We'll see why we're spending so much time on Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda, according to most Rishon, that's how we pass in the halacha. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda tells us, Einu chayav ad sheyigabel. So his basic statement was, when you take flour, you take water, and you just put them together, that's not called lisha. Lisha is only when you take out that the rolling pin, the kneading pin, you start to really, really mush it together. That's considered to be the moment of truth. That's the chiyav of lisha. So yesh lachkor, one could raise a shayla, what's the nature of that statement of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda? Why did Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda say that? So is Pshat, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda held that Gibul is the definition of Lisha? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Moshe, the Meshur made the Lamed as Malacha, so the name of the game was Lisha. So the definition, you open up Halachapedia, and you take a look and you see, so the word Lisha means Gibul. Anything short of Gibul is not considered to be a Lisha whatsoever. It's not a Maisa Lisha altogether. Or maybe no, that's not the Pshat. Maybe the reason why Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda said that Nesidah Samayim is not sufficient because it's almost like a chatzi malacha. It means you didn't finish the job. It's true, you did involve yourself in an act of lisha. It is called lisha when you start to touch flour and water together. That's already considered to be the tchilas alisha, but it's not the gemara davar. So we have a general rule in the Shabbos, if you don't get the whole job done, so that's not going to be chayav on Shabbos. So maybe the reason why Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds einu chayav achi yegabel is because kol zman that you haven't done gibel, so you didn't really finish the job. My nafkamina between the two approaches, whether you say that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's absolute Torah definition of lisha equals gibel, or whether Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that we can conceive of Nesidah Samayim being called Lisha, it's just that you're chaser in the Malacha. So here comes the Nafkamina. Nafkamina is something that's loved by Gibel, something that cannot reach the point of Gibel. It's impossible to be Megabal it. What would Rabbi Yosef Yehuda say about such a mixture? So if you go down the first path, that Eino Chayav Achi Yegabel is an absolute objective statement, Gibel is the halachic definition of Lisha, nothing more, nothing less. So I don't care whether you can or can't be Megabal. If a Maisi, you didn't do Gibel, you're not going to be Chayav. So that's one version of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. But according to the second version, that Eino Chayav Achi Yegabel just means that what you did, you didn't finish the job, but Medibar Mamurim, I didn't finish the job when there's more of a job to be done. But if it's something that there is no more job to be done, I cannot be Megabal if I wanted to, because I would try to mix it from today till tomorrow and garnish Galpin, it wouldn't mix, it wouldn't form, it wouldn't meet together anyway. So then even Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is going to turn around and say, I can see that you're going to be Chayev at the time of Nesina Samayim. So it's unclear what the lumdus of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's necessity for Gibel was, and it's unclear the halacha, what would Rabbi Yosef Yehuda say about these cases that Gibel is not even practical.
It's only, it's the case that was defined earlier, just with flour and water?
No, flour and water is just the model that we're giving. It's going to apply to millions and millions of other things. I mean, just to give you an idea, it could potentially apply to baby cereal mixing up with water. It could potentially apply to a little piece of eggs mixing up with mayonnaise. It may apply to sugar being put into yogurt. I mean, it could apply to a lot of potential.
Right, so then the nafkamina between the two can't play into
account. It's going to be a huge nafkamina. It's going to be a very, very huge nafkamina. So we're not quite sure what Rabbi Yosef Yehuda said. So the Gemara in one place seems to say one thing, another place seems to say something else. And it's much like this, and we've shown him what was the final word on this issue. So Tosus seems to go L'chumra. Tosus says that if it's something that's a really, truly Eino Bar Gibel, so then you would be Chayav right away, according to everybody at the time of the Sinas Samayim. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, Eino Chayav Achi Yegav, we'll finish, end the discussion. But this question is all assuming that we follow Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Who says we pass in that way? So this is the further question. How would we pass if we were a Rishon and we were trying to decide how to pass in the Shailos? So you have a Machlekes, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. How would you pass in? So the Gemara usually tells us, the Gemara gives us in the fourth breath of David, a whole series of Kloli HaPsach. How do you know Rabbi Yosef says this, and Rabbi Shimon says this, and Rabbi Yehuda says this? How do you know? So the Amoraim, when we said the Amoraim figured out for us all what the Kloli HaPsach are. So one of the Kloli HaPsach is that Halacha Kerebi Mechaverov Lo Mechaverov. That we generally follow Rabbi Yehuda Anasi when he takes on one of his colleagues. When he takes on the whole world, then we don't pass him like him. So if you have, everybody else says one thing, and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says something else, we won't accept Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. But if it's just a one-on-one, then we will. So here, this is a classic example of Rebbe against one of his colleagues, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. So l'chara, we should pass him like Rebbe. The only thing is that there's another klal in Psach Halacha that may trump that klal, and that is Halacha Stam Mishnah. Whenever you have a Stam Mishnah, so unless we know to the contrary, so that's always indicative of the fact that the halacha should follow the Stam Mishnah. It's a very strange application of that principle here because it was Rabbi Yehuda Anasi who was the one who wrote the Stam Mishnayos. So you have to scratch your head a little bit to figure out how did that happen exactly. So the answer is that when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is writing Stam Mishnayos, he's not just quoting his own opinions, he's trying to present what the generally accepted halacha is. So we have a cloud called the halacha Stam Mishnah. We have another cloud called the halacha Kerev Bechavero. The problem is that in this case, there may be a contradiction between the two klalim, because there may, depending on what you think about certain Stam Mishnayos, there may be certain Stam Mishnayos in the second Shabbos that follow the view of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So now you're in a total and complete chaos as to how to paskin the Shiloh. So you have no idea whether you should paskin like Rabbi or Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and you have absolutely no idea what Rabbi Yosef Yehuda actually said in cases which are allowed by Gibel. So because of all those different factors, it's not a great surprise that there are three possibilities, and there are three sheets of Rishonim, what the final offer should be. So there were some Rishonim who say that we paskin like a Rebbe, finished, ended the discussion, and therefore you're always chayiv at the time of the Sidus Samayim. That would be a tremendous chumrah. It means any and every time you have any little piece of flour or quasi-flour or any kind of little solid pieces, that you caused to come into contact with water, or other liquids for that matter, even if you didn't really mix, just the mere connecting of the two already poses a serious problem. So that was the view of Rabbeinu Baruch, Rabbeinu Baruch Sefer, Baal Sefer HaTrumah. So he was one of the Balei HaTosfos. We've talked about this in the past. Rabbeinu Baruch was one of the Gedolei HaRishonim of the Balei HaTosfos, who was the Talmid of the Ri, and he moved to Eretz Yisrael with that group of Balei HaTosfos that decided to move to Eretz Yisrael and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So they didn't succeed in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, but they did succeed in learning the Kachim, and all the Tosfos, many of the Tosfos that we have in Sefer Kachim actually come from Rabbeinu Baruch. So if you learn the Tosfos from Zvachim, every once in a while Tosfos will write at the bottom Baruch, if he signed his name, like Baruch. This particular Tosfos is from Rabbeinu Baruch. So anyways, Rabbeinu Baruch Sefer HaTrumah, besides writing Kachim and things about Eretz Yisrael, he also wrote Hilchos Shabbos. So he thinks that we should paskin like Rabbi Danasi, Halacha Rebbe, Chaver, and finish. So that would be a tremendous chumrah. Most of the Rishonim disagree with Rabbeinu Baruch. Most of the Rishonim held that at the end of the day, we follow the more lenient version, that's Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Eino Chayev Anshei Gadol. But within Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shita, it's not clear what the final word would be. What would he say about things which are not subject to being kibbutz altogether? So you name your shita, you name what you want to say, and I'll find your rishon that says it. Some rishonim say yechayev in esin esamayim. Some rishonim say yechayev only if you're megabel, and if you're not megabel, if it can't be megabel, then you're not chayev altogether. Another rishonim say eino chayev at shiagabel, but if it's impossible to megabel, then yechayev at the time of esin esamayim. So that was the lomdish background. When you learn the sages of Risha, so you would usually spend days and days trying to work out all the Gemara, all the Rishonim, to figure out how we got to what we just got to. But this is the background to the whole story, that at the end of the day, there were three different shitas. Either Nesina Samayim is everything, Gibel is everything, or somewhere in the middle. That if you can be Megabel, Gibel is everything. If you can't be Megabel, then Nesina Samayim is everything. There is a pivotal Gemara that appears in Maseches Beitza that touches not only on the Melach of Risha, but it touches on something a little bit closer to Hilchos Yom Tov than Hilchos Shabbos, but it's a very critical Gemara in terms of our discussion, so we'll just spend a little bit of time talking about it, because it has some applications outside of just the details of Hilchos Lisha itself. There is a Gemara tucked away in Maseches Beitza. The Gemara talks about the following problem a person has on Yom Tov. So he's baking in his oven on Yom Tov. That's beautiful, that's wonderful, you're allowed to bake on Yom Tov. And then he realizes that his oven has some cracks in it, and the heat is not, the oven not being insulated properly. So instead of calling, Sears, or piercing Joe, or Paul's to fix up his ovens, so he decides to do it the old style way. So what would you possibly do? So the Gemara says, no problem. You take some ashes, and you plug up the holes in the oven, and that's going to keep the oven a little bit warm inside, and your bread's going to bake a little bit better. So the Gemara says, that's okay. You're allowed to take the ashes and stuff it up and use it to stuff up the holes in the oven, and that's perfectly all right, Yom Tov. So the Rishonim raised a question to this Gemara, how exactly are you allowed to do this? Isn't this a violation of Malacha? Isn't this considered to be Malacha of Lisha? Isn't that also on Yom Tov? That's the premise of the question. We'll see what the answer to that question is. That's the premise of the question. So Rashi on the spot says that, no, it's not a problem. You know why it's not a problem, Rashi says? Because what you're going to do is, you're going to take ashes, and you're going to mix the ashes with water, and you're going to make some kind of a mush together, and you're going to make that, take that mush and stuff it up into the holes of the cracks and crevices of the oven to keep the heat insulated. So Rashi says, and why isn't that a problem of Lisha? Rashi is very simple, because if you ever try to take ashes and water and try to make a gibel, try to make a dough out of it, it's not going to work. It's a lav bar gibel. And therefore, it's a lav bar gibel, Rashi says, well, we follow Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Eino chayev ad sheyagabel. So if eino chayev ad sheyagabel, it's impossible to do the gibel. And therefore, everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be wonderful. So Rashi says that that's Stam Gemara tucked away in the end of Maseches Beitza, and it says, v'kit mashari, you can take ashes and just plug up the holes of the oven and show my Yisrael. So that Gemara is paskening like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and it's paskening that eino chayev ad sheyagabel, and therefore, under all circumstances, eino chayev ad sheyagabel. Oh, okay. That's going to be punctual on the sugya. So Tosfos says, no, Tosfos says it can't be. Tosfos says, even though it may be true that we follow Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that this is the worst case of Lisha, because if it's impossible to do Gibel, so then the Sinas Amayim itself is going to be a problem. So Frek Tosfos, Kash, and Rashi, you're trying to make this case mutter according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. You accomplish the exact opposite. According to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, this is the worst case scenario. So what is Pshat the Gemara? So again, I can't be machriya between Rashi. It tells us how to insulate ovens. I can't even know how to, turn on an oven in the 1000s, but in the 300s. So Tosfos says, no, what the Gemara means is that you're just taking ashes and you're just stuffing up the holes without any water whatsoever. So there's no lisha altogether. So it's hetter gomor. That's what the Gemara says. It's mutter because it's mutter because it was never shy in the first place. There never was a problem with lisha. Again, what's going to keep the ashes in place? Again, your guess is as good as mine. So Taisa says that Rashi's thought is incorrect because Enu Chayav Achiyagabel is going to be the worst case scenario here because it's a lot of people. So many of the other Rishonim stop Rashi and Taisa in their tracks and say, wait a second, what is going on over here? Isn't this mutter because it's yontif? It's not Shabbos. And it still says correct. Don't we all know that Malachas Nisha is Mutter on Yontif? Well, almost all of us know that Malachas Nisha is Mutter on Yontif. And then remember, the person who doesn't know that Nisha is Mutter on Yontif? I've heard my daughter's, one of my brother's teachers back in the elementary school. That's why he's the secretary of our Torah. This goes back, this goes back a while ago. She came back from school one day, and it was before Yontif, and we were talking about some of the laws of a Yontif that she had learned back, way, way back, and she mentioned that one of her mothers told her that there are certain things you're allowed to do in Yontif, and certain laws you're not allowed to do in Yontif. You're allowed to cook, you're allowed to bake, but you're not allowed to pluck things from trees, so far she's right, all right? And you're not allowed to knead a dough on Yontif. So I said, I have to very, very politely disagree with that one. She said, no. She said, teacher said, Mora said, you're not allowed to knead the dough. I said, how am I supposed to bake it? It's a buffet, Rishi Rishami. Rishami says that Mimisha v'Eilach is Mutter. Rishami actually raises the question, how do you know which malachas and Yontif are permissible, which are not? Because we know for a fact that not all food malachas are Mutter. The Gemara says explicitly, you cannot pluck an apple off your tree on Yontif. So how do you know which are Mutter, which are Asur? So Rishami says it's all based on a pasuk. Ach ashe ochel chom nefesh, hu levado yaseh lachem, ushmartem es amatzos. The Torah puts together the din of cooking on Yontif together with the din of Shmur Matzah. And the Rishami says, everybody knows that Shmur Matzah begins Mishas Lisha only at the time that you need the dough. The Rishami says, why in the world would anybody have Shmur Matzah before Lisha? There's no water there. What are you watching? The guy standing in the middle of Nebraska and watching him harvest the dough, or harvest the grain, there's nothing there to watch. There's not supposed to be any water there. So obviously the Rishami says Lisha only Shmura only begins at the time of Lisha, not beforehand. Obviously all of our boxes and matzahs don't agree with that, because all of our boxes say Shmur Mishas Katsira, because we followed the other day and the Bavli that disagrees. It says that Shmur begins from Katsira. There's no water. That's exactly what the job of the Mishkif is, to make sure that there's no water. It's an interesting machlek is the Bavli and the Rishami. The Rishami says Shmur doesn't make any sense before there's supposed to be water there. And the Bavli says, that's right, that's exactly what the Mishkif is doing. He's looking for the thing that's not supposed to be there. So it's a fascinating machlek about Hashkacha, about what the job of the Mashkiach is. The Mashkiach is supposed to look for things that we expect to be there, or the job of the Mashkiach is to be looking for things that are not supposed to be there. So the answer is they're both true. We're supposed to be looking for both. We get back to our story. So the Rishami says that Ushmartim is a matzis refers to Lisha, and therefore the Heter of Echel Nefesh only refers to Melisha Be'elach, and therefore any malachas beforehand would be problematic. There was no question under the sun that Lisha is Mutter on Yontif. So that's what other Rishonim ask in Rashi and Tosfos. Why Rashi and Tosfos is taking us for a trip through the malach of Lisha, Tepuk Leidah, this should be totally Mutter, it's Heter Gomer, because it's Lisha. So the reason why this is not so simple is because this is Lisha, but the malacha that you're doing on is not the food itself. You're doing it on the oven. And that's what's called Machshire Eichel Nefesh. More quotes in Machlekes Atanoim, the Rabbi Yudah and the Ravonon about the following shayla. Let's say a person is about to shecht on Yontif, and they realize that the knife has a nick in it. So in order for the tishkit to be acceptable, you have to sharpen up the knife. The problem is, that's a malacha, that you're doing some kind of a malacha that's, in theory, you need it for Echol Nefesh, because otherwise the tishkit won't be good, you won't be able to shech. On the other hand, the malacha that you're doing to is not to the cheft of the food. You're doing a preparatory kind of a malacha. Is that permissible on Yontif or not? So the Chacham say, absolutely not. The Chacham say, hu levado yaseh lachem. Ach esheyachol Echol Nefesh, hu levado yaseh lachem. That the only thing you're allowed to do on Yontif is you can check the animal on Yontif, you can cook the food on Yontif, you can bake on Yontif, you can carry food on Yontif, you can light fires for pre-existing flames for cooking. All of that is mutter on Yontif. What you cannot do is you cannot fix your knife, you can't fix your refrigerator, you can't fix your pot, you can't do anything that's called machshir echol nefesh, which doesn't actually affect the food proper. Anything that's preparatory to the food is awesome in HaTorah. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says that sometimes the chum are right and sometimes not. What does it depend upon? Are these kinds of preparatory stages that could have been done from before Yontif or not? If it's machshirin she'ef shalasas v'biyol yom, so then you're not allowed to do it on Yontif, and that would be an isadir aisa. But if it's eef shalasas v'biyol yom, so then it would be mutter l'chachila on Yontif. Let's say the example of the knife. So If the knife had a crack and already had a pegima from before Yontif and you could have fixed it and you didn't, so then to fix that knife in Yontif would be a Nisadir Aisha. But if you drop the knife in Yontif morning and you got a bang, you got dented, now you have to fix it, so that would be EF Shemi Biyodom, because you didn't even have a problem before Yontif started, and that would be Mutal HaKhila. So how do we paskin the halach and this machloik is reviewed in the Chachamim? So the Gemara in Beitza tells us a very interesting psak, so you have to keep this on the hush-hush, under the radar, this psak. The Gemara says that me'ikir ad-din we follow Rabbi Yehuda, halacha ve'ein morin kein. But you're not supposed to tell anybody this, because if you tell people Rabbi Yehuda Shita, then people are going to be very, very lenient in Uchus Yantar, they're going to make all kinds of mistakes, they're going to end up doing machshirin shalai kedin. But me'ikir ad-din we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. If it's Efshem Mibiyal Yom, it's Asa Min HaTorah. If it's Efshem Mibiyal Yom, then it's Mutal L'Chadchila. But again, we can't tell people that. You're not allowed to tell people that. If you happen to know that yourself, then you're allowed to follow it. But if you ask the rabbi has to tell you a book of mice. He has to tell you a story. That's what the Gemara tells, a story that one of the Amoraim was sharpening his knife on Yontif. So this Talmud asked him, he said, what are you doing? You're sharpening your knife. So he said, oh, I wasn't really sharpening, I was just cleaning off the knife a little bit. And the Gemara says, Velohi, it wasn't true. He was really sharpening the knife, but he didn't want to tell the Talmud that. Because we would have told the Talmud that would have been a violation of halacha of Ein Barim Kein. So I'm allowed to tell you because we're learning the sugya. Otherwise, how are we ever going to learn the sugya? So the Gemara wrote the sugya halacha Ein Barim Kein. You're not supposed to put it on the internet. You're not supposed to tell people. You're not supposed to be mafarsed in this pshat because it's halacha of Ein Barim Kein. So that's what the Rishonim say, that's what's going on in the case of the oven. That the case of the oven is an issue of machshirin, because you're not really touching the food itself. You're fixing the oven. So I'm doing malachas lisha, which itself is a malacha muteras on yontif, but I'm doing it for the purposes of machshiria chol nefesh, not chol nefesh proper. So that raises a potential red flag. So that's what the Gemara tells us, that if it's kitma, if it's ashes, so you couldn't have mixed the ashes and the water from before yontif, because if you would have done so it wouldn't do the job. Again, I have no idea what that means, but the Rishon Duran explains that it wouldn't have done the job, wouldn't have held, it would have just disintegrated. So since you have to do it on the spot, that's called EF Shur Mibiyod Yom, and therefore Mikra Adin, it's really going to be Mutter. So again, according to Rashi and Tosfos, they're working with the assumption that we have a very, very serious problem of Malacha Yomtiv, and we're not even so sure that we have a problem altogether. Maybe it's Mutter based on Makshir and Shir Shalom Mibiyod Yom. Then the Ran puts a possibility, also an important Yomtiv issue, where he claims that perhaps fixing the oven may not even necessarily be machshir yochel nefesh, it may be ochel nefesh proper, because the hotter the oven is, so the better that impacts on the food proper. So that's considered to be almost like adding fuel to the fire. When I put wood into the fire, that's not called machshir yochel nefesh, that's called ochel nefesh proper. So when I'm making the oven hotter, whether I'm making the oven hotter by insulating it better, or I'm making the oven hotter by putting more wood into the fire, that's called enhancing the food proper. Maybe that's called ochel nefesh. So there's a lot of Torahs that are going on in that sugya kitma. But the part that are important for us is the fact that this gemara may impact on our discussion. So getting back to our story, we have a lot of different ideas floating around here in terms of lechus lisha. We have some who say that lisha is violated at the time of the Nesidah Sabayim. We have others who say Lisha is violated at the time of Gibul. Within the view of Gibul, we have a further breakdown. What if it's something that you can't do Megabal? So some would say Yechayev right away, and others would say it would not be Chayev under those circumstances. So the Gemara now plugs in this entire discussion, begins to again set the stage. We're probably not going to talk about too much of real practical until Shem next week, but the Gemara sets the stage for this discussion by talking about the following. So the Gemara talks about certain scenarios of doing acts of Lisha. And the Gemara talks about doing Lisha in abnormal fashions. The Gemara talks about the person who's mixing together different kinds of brands and stuff and mice love and water, he's trying to feed the animals, etc. So the Gemara talks about the possibility of doing Lisha if you do it in an abnormal way. What would be the abnormal way of doing it? So the Gemara talks about doing the Gibul in a Mishimdik way, doing the Gibul in a strange way. So what would be called a strange way? So everyone gives you different ideas. The Gemara says, let's say instead of mixing, you do what's called a shasi ve'erim, means you do almost like crisscross motions. Instead of mixing it like a normal person would mix, you take a utensil and you do this, and you do that, and you do this, and you do that. So it takes you, by the time you're done, it's already next to Shabbos, but you did it in an abnormal fashion. So the Gemara talks about that potentially being permissible. And the Gemara talks about other kinds of gibbles that are done in an abnormal fashion. Instead of taking a utensil and mixing, you take this bucket of morsel, a brand, and water or something, and you shake it up really, really well. So the animal, the poor animal, the cow's waiting to get fed, and you're mixing it up, hoping for the best. So that's a meshugana. No one would ever do that on a regular Tuesday. So that's considered to be a shinui in the gibbol. So some of that's considered to be mutter. So the Gemara quotes stories in the end of Masechet Shabbos about if you did the gibbol in an abnormal fashion, everything is shalom by shalom, everything's gebaldim. So the Rishonim get very, very nervous about this Gemara on many, many different levels. First of all, why does the shinui in the time of gibbol even work? So it depends what you think is the moment of truth of Lisha. If you accept the view of Rabbeinu Baruch, Paskin like Rebbe, that the Nesinus Amayim is the problem, how in the world is doing a shinui later on going to help? It's like Lamashal. Let's say a person walks into a room and they turn on the light in a normal fashion. I turn on the light with my hand regular, and then as soon as I finish turning on the light, I stand on my head. So would somebody say, oh, that was a malacha done kiliachayat? No, that was a malacha done in a normal fashion, and you're a nutcase. So that's not called a shinui. So to over here, according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, a guy walks into the barn and he mixes the flour and he puts the flour onto the water. So he's already chayim. He's going out to the base of skila already, ready to throw him off the cliff. And then at that moment he says, wait for me for 1 second. Let me do the gibol in an abnormal fashion. The malach is over already. It's not. It's history. So obviously, according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that brisa cannot be true. Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi would have to disagree with that brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi would have to say that just simply doing the gibol in an abnormal fashion is not going to solve the problem. Obviously, you have to do a gibol, you have to do the Nesidus Hamayim in an abnormal fashion. We can only begin to discuss doing things in an abnormal fashion, being wonderful, being great, and saving the world's problems. That's only within the view of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. But even within the view of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, it's also very problematic, very difficult to understand, because why does Kaliyachayat solve the world's problems? So we've seen this principle many, many times throughout Uchel Shabbos, that doing things in an abnormal fashion makes things no longer awesome in the Torah. But just because something is not awesome in the Torah, it doesn't mean that it's mutter. It's a far cry to being mutter. Generally, the rule is, let's say if a person carries something in a shoe, carries something under his hat, puts something into his belt, carries something in a machine to take away, so that's not carrying in a Torah, but it's still carrying with the Rabbanim. Let's say a righty, instead of writing with his right hand, writes with his left hand. So that's not writing in a Torah, but it's still writing with the Rabbanim. So if a person does malach in an abnormal fashion, that's very, very rarely a recipe for being mutl hachatila. It usually still remains being in the simid rabbanim. So how come when it comes to leash, all of a sudden, hocus pocus, the guy does the gibel, the yachayad, everything becomes mutl. So that's a very, very difficult concept to understand. So we're going to have to pick up this over next week about this idea of taking an act of gibel and trying to isolate exactly when the moment of truth is, and then seeing how does this principle of shimi play out. And we get the Lomdisha background today, we're trying to figure out how does this play out. We're trying to give the most common example of Lisha, the Manazah, is the case of the baby cereals. So all the Lomdisha that we talk about is now going to play out. We're going to have three different sheets of Rishon, how to make baby cereal in Shabbos. By the time we finish, the baby's going to be Bamitz already, but I'm going to figure out how to make the baby cereal. But I'll tell you next week about what kind of Shinurim you're going to do. So I'll tell you in advance, don't tell your wife some of the Shinurim that we're going to suggest. So we'll see. Again, this we just set a little in the background Lomdisha to try to figure out how this is going to play out in the mindset.
That was awesome. Next week is